We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Tuesday, September 10th. And this particular Tuesday has been rather long and fun for Roy, hasn't it?
I put some miles on the truck today. No, it's just work, man. It's work. And then I had the opportunity to run down and have lunch with my folks, which, you know, is something that I don't do enough of. I mean, we're only an hour and change away. So it's, I always love when I go down and have lunch with mom and dad. I was running late because I had some showings this morning and they ran over. And my folks, like, we just did my dad's 80th birthday over the summer, right? So my folks, I'm 45, I'm the youngest of three. So my parents are not young by any means. And like, I don't think we got to eat till 1:30 or so. And my parents, like, and you know how old people are, they eat every meal earlier. Like the older you get, the earlier you eat all three meals, right? Like right. You get to be 80 years old and you can't sleep past 4:30 anyway. So you're eating breakfast at like 5:15, which puts lunch at 11, which puts dinner at the early bird special. Yeah. You know, so my whole drive down there, I'm thinking my parents are basically wasting away because I'm waiting them, making them wait till like 1:30 to eat. but got, you know, ran down to spring, got to have lunch with my folks. I at some point I took my mom's Pyrex casserole dish. She asked for it back. I brought it back. I brought back the wrong one. So it was a wildly unsuccessful trip. I did pick up the boat keys. So there's that.
Hey, that's a plus.
But I will say, though, you know, as a realtor where so much of my job revolves around the phone, you know, being on the phone,
right?
You know, having an hour of uninterrupted, you know, phone time it's really helpful. So it's, you know, I don't just spend an hour, you know, driving down, an hour driving back, dancing to ABBA inside the truck. I mean, I do a little bit of that, but.
Fair enough. Hey, can't beat ABBA. So good.
No. But, no, not for windows down jamming, man, because this weather is windows down. It's gorgeous.
Oh, it's so nice. Well, I'm Rob White, fighting Texas Aggie class of 2014.
Oh, yeah, there's that. I'm Roy May, fighting Texas Aggie class of 2015.
And we got plenty to get into today. Had a fun weekend of college football last weekend. I certainly thought so. And plenty of revealing results.
Somewhat. You know, we're still only 2 weeks in. So, you know, there were some interesting results around the country, but again, this is one of those where even in the second week, are we overreacting? Are we underreacting? You know, I think there's still a lot of that. Notre Dame getting beat by Northern Illinois is nutso. They were four touchdown favorites, you know, at home. Ranking Northern Illinois after that, I think, is an overreaction.
Potentially, yeah.
But again, we're 2 weeks in. None of these rankings matter. Like all the points are made up and none of the rankings, like all the rankings are made up and none of it matters until we get a little bit more football in us and we can kind of see, right?
Right.
And I don't have the Northern Illinois football schedule pinned to my board here, but I'm assuming that they don't have a real rough schedule the rest of the way. They are one of those schools that does step out and play higher competition in their non-con. But now the whole country's going, well, shit, is Notre Dame any good or no?
Yeah, that is certainly the question.
I don't think that's an overreaction. I think that's a very legitimate question to have after seeing that. Real quick, sorry, I got to say this. We both have to have our hat shout outs. We're both rocking some pretty sweet hats.
Yeah, we're having fun. So if you're watching on YouTube, good fun hats today.
This is my Travis Matthew hat, the unofficial sponsor of Tahoe. And I got this from my client, my homie, Anton. So, and I think he normally listens. So thank you again. This hat, I mean, I make this hat look good, but it's a good looking hat. It is a good looking hat. So, yes, I had to do a quick hat shout out because I was sitting here looking at the screen going, man, these are sweet.
yeah, no, it was cool. I snagged this one. Yeah. In Junction, Texas, we were coming back from Lubbock heading to Rockport. We decided to stop in Junction because that's like the one stop on that stretch. Gosh. And whipped in for a little barbecue. I saw the hat, saw the catchphrase, and I said,
"It's a no-brainer.
I'm a 12-year-old. I'm going to buy it. It's fine. It was only $20. Whatever.
You're a 12-year-old with a grown man's bank account.
Bingo.
Yeah. Exactly. So you're like, right. Yeah, I'm buying this because I can.
Exactly. And you know what? It's all fun, but
Well, mine
yeah.
was a gift. So, but back to Notre Dame, that's one of those things where we're 2 weeks in now, right?
Yes.
So they beat us and we didn't give any data because all we did was play McNeese State. We'll get into our game in just a little bit. There's not a ton to talk about, quite frankly. But we did what we were supposed to do. So you don't glean really much of anything from our game. So then the question is, because Notre Dame doesn't have a strong schedule. They beat the one team that really strengthened their schedule, but then they turn around and lay a turd at home. And so now, obviously, I don't think asking if Notre Dame is good is an overreaction. I think ranking Northern Illinois is an overreaction after beating Notre Dame. Going back and we'll go through the games that we picked last week, and I'll just kind of go left to right, on my radio dial here. We both went 3-2, and that's because I'm stubborn and won't pick the Sips.
No, fair enough. But I honestly was going through my picks in my head, and I was like, "Oh God, I bet I didn't do that great. It didn't feel great."
We
But
both well, we both went 3-2, so that brings me to 500 so far. So I'm 5-5. You're 4-6. You had
I'll
a
take it.
pretty brutal first week.
Yeah.
But we both picked the Pokes to beat Arkansas. Lo and behold, Arkansas is not going to put up 70 on somebody not named Pine Bluff, right?
Who would have guessed?
And that turned out to be a good game, just kind of like everybody thought it would be. The El Asico, Iowa State at Iowa. That was a 2.5 point line. And so you get 3 points at home. So that's basically a pick 'em game, right? And so we both got it wrong. We both picked Iowa. And again, it was a 1 point game. So Iowa State managed to win and not cover, or excuse me. Well, they covered obviously because they won. But that's basically where that landed. They were 2.5 point favorites at home. There's your 3 points. Iowa State wins by one. So that about checks out. We both picked Tennessee to beat NC State. I thought that was kind of a no-brainer. NC State was one of those NIUs. I think maybe they didn't need to be ranked.
Maybe not.
Obviously, you picked the Sips. I picked Michigan. We'll get into that in a second. Kansas and Illinois. Again, this was a 5.5 point, but this was five. So Illinois were home dogs, and they were 5.5 point dogs at home to Kansas. And Illinois ended up pulling it out. So that's a good win for Illinois. Not that I'm thinking Illinois is gonna, make a push to win the Big Ten by any means, but that's a good win for Illinois for a program that's really trying to climb out of the crap hole that they've made for them. The fight in the Illini remind me a lot of the Bears. I think maybe it's because they are so close to each other. You expect so much more out of them because of their name and who they are. But they just kind of fall flat, and coaching change after coaching change, they fall flat. And it's, you would think that the University of Illinois could be better. But when you're talking about breaking out the old school helmets with the line underneath the lines on the helmets, those were beautiful. I love those.
As
So,
the uniform nerd here, the moment I saw those helmets, I knew that Kansas was cooked. I was like, ah, bad
yeah,
pick.
and they didn't release that before we did our picks, so you were just kind of hosed.
Yeah, I was stuck,
So
but it's fine.
the Michigan Sips game, just real briefly, because I don't want to just sit around and talk about this game, quite frankly.
Sure.
Michigan's terrible.
I mean, you lost 3/4 of your production from last season, and you have a brand new head coach.
But they're bad, bad. Like I knew that they were going to slip. But generally, when you can maintain a defense, because there is some continuity with the new coach, right?
Sure.
He was there.
Right.
So, when you have that kind of defense, normally you think everything can at least be okay, right? I didn't expect them to get in the playoffs, but I also like, how many games is Michigan going to win? Their offense is archaically bad.
Yeah,
So,
they did not do much.
And I was blown away by their defense didn't contain Texas at all, like at all. So it was that was surprising. I was keeping an eye on it, but once it got out of hand, I mean, I was at the game. I was at the A&M game anyways. And speaking of that, we can kind of move on into the A&M game, right? We'll
That's fine.
touch on it briefly. I think we talked about this last week. There's not a lot that you can learn from games like this, unless it goes off the rails, right? You can get
Right.
plenty of bad from games like this, but you can't get a ton of good. But I thought that there were some points that are worth making relative to kind of what we saw. And I said, I don't remember if I said it on here, but I know I said it on the fan show. They said, what do you need to see? And I think I literally said, like, I either said 28 or 40. I can't remember, like on our end,
It
but
was 45.
zero on their end going into the first half. right? Like I wanted to see a shutout and I wanted to see us put up points. Now, the efficiency at which our offense clicked, and again, I get it. It's McNeese State. I totally get it. But putting up points at that clip is hard to do, period. I mean, you're talking about, what was it, first five drives, all of minute and touchdowns?
Yep. Every single drive we had in the first half ended in a score. The only one that wasn't a touchdown was the last one, and that was a field goal.
Right. And
And at
so,
that point, Connor was out of the game.
yeah, I was shocked because, normally the formula is play him the whole first half, bring him out for a drive in the third quarter just to kind of, have that feeling of going in the locker room and coming back out. But yeah, I mean, it was just a stomp job, which is what everybody expected. The McNeese coach calling timeout to kick a field goal to cover the spread is sketchy as all get out.
Hey,
Like, sketchy as all get out to cover the spread.
gotta get a
I
little
don't know
money in
what
there.
anybody's thoughts are on that, but bro, wow.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah,
Somebody
I had
in
no
Vegas.
words. I had no words because, like, it was, near the end of the game and they got the ball, so I figured they'll huck one in the end zone. And he calls this timeout, and I stop and I look at the score and I go, he's going to cover. He's literally going to cover, which means nothing for your program.
No, but
Covering the spread means everything when you're gambling. Now, granted, they're out of Lake Charles, man, so they know all about this. But man, that looked so sketchy, like to the point where you almost want an investigation launched. Like, that's how sketchy it looked. To call a timeout to kick a meaningless field goal, and the only person it's not, or the only people it's not meaningless to, are the people that had money on the game. Sketch, 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 bro.
just a little bit, just a little bit.
But so, a couple things to take away from the game, though. I don't know kind of what you saw. I'll kind of tell you what I saw and then and bounce it over to you. I was happy, really happy with the offensive line. And again, I get it. Please, I get it. It's McNeese, right? But I was happy with the offensive line. I was happy with Connor, looked settled in. And I was happy with the defense, just as a whole, pitching a shutout in the first half before you put in the backups. Now, granted, it was our backups versus their backups at one point, but still, you're also talking about putting in your third string kind of stuff. And so it's just, these kids get as many reps as you can give them in practice. They get no reps in game time. But I liked what I saw of the offensive line. I thought they had some real bruising plays, to be quite honest. I think Reed Adams is a bad, bad man. I liked Connor being a little more settled. I liked him taking off and running. Big fan of that. He had a pass that should have been caught for a touchdown to Cyrus Allen. So it's, as good as his numbers were, he graded out as the highest quarterback on PFF, college football this week. He went from literally the worst to literally the first.
And
And so,
I remember quote tweeting that and saying, so we still don't know anything.
yeah, so we absolutely have no idea because he had the best rating of anybody played McNeese State at home. So, I mean, not that we would ever play McNeese State on the road. That would shut the program down if we're
That
doing
would be
that.
well.
But yeah, those were kind of my strong points. And maybe one more kind of minor one is just seeing the wide receivers getting open, catching the ball. Just it's a fluidity and efficiency of offense that we saw.
I like the decision making from Connor a lot in that first half. Like when you realize, I mean, because a lot of times he had a great pocket in passing, it was great. We had great pass protection from the O line. He was out here getting plenty of time to throw, and then if his guys recovered, he took off, made positive yards out of the deal, and that was a really good thing to see. See, like, hey, recognize the situation. It's not great, and when we're trying to throw it down the field on occasion, run it down the field. Then they start keying on maybe covering you, then you go over the top and you burn them a bit. And the other thing, I was very impressed. I enjoyed what the running backs were doing. There were a
Yes.
few opportunities there where it seemed like the O-line wasn't getting quite enough push in the run game, but running backs were able to create yardage on the back
Well,
end.
and I tell you what, that was a big difference from week one to week two was the running backs, and I'm sure they spent plenty of time in the film room. We had opportunities against Notre Dame, and the running back vision when the opportunities were there was poor. They were making poor decisions. Things were developing and they were cutting into the wrong holes, taking the ball in the wrong place. And it doesn't matter who you play, you got to hit the hole that's open for you, right? And so that was a marked improvement for the running backs, I thought, is the fact that, they were letting it develop. They were letting the offensive linemen do their job. And you just follow your blockers, man. You just follow the hats, right? Like we heard that in seventh grade when we all started playing, if you started playing in, Pee Wee, you just follow the hat and go to the outside of the Brads, right? Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think that's, that was encouraging to see them hitting the holes that, quite frankly, are where the play is designed to go.
And they created positive yards. And I mean, everything about that first half, offensively, defensively, was exactly what you wanted to see out of this team. And we said, go out there, do your job. Guess what they did? They went out there, did their job. Still had 92,000 people at Kyle Field at 11 o'clock, and it was a great raucous crowd from what I could hear on TV. It was really, really kind of a funny deal. So normally, I don't get to watch many of the games on the road, right? Because we're either loading in, there's a sound check going on. Maybe sometimes we're playing during the game if it's a night game. That's a very common thing for me. And because it was 11 o'clock and we had a long commute from Fort Smith, Arkansas to Manhattan, Kansas. And so part of the way through the drive, we get north of Joplin. And Carson says, hey, why don't you put on the game? Because we could stream it on my phone. And I was like, are you sure? He said, yeah, put the game on. I want to watch. It's like, I'm coming to dad. I think I need to get more into football. I was like, okay, Jeff, we can do that. So we put the game on and we're just listening to it as we're cruising down the road. And yeah, it was good. It was good to watch a little bit and have a little back and forth amongst the band because normally we don't really talk much football. So that was kind of a fun thing for me because normally it's just people ask me what my thoughts are after the game. Not necessarily what's going on in the middle of the game. So that was a cool deal. Happy we took care of our business and now business trip this week.
Yeah, it's a business trip, 100%. So this is, I heard Tareem Williams on Tex Ags this morning talking about it. This is really a must win. Maybe it might have been OB, or maybe it was both of them, quite frankly. This is really a must win for both programs.
I think for A&M in particular, looking at our situation right now, it's you need to establish that what happened in week one, that was adjustments, making your little moves here and there, getting into this Florida game. I mean, this is the type of environment that's always a tough one to play in. Doesn't matter how good or bad the Gators are, the fans show up and they're loud and raucous, very similar to us in that fashion. So and it's a 2:30 in Florida. It's probably going to be humid. It's probably going to be nasty. You got to go out there and do your job, in that environment, which we've done before. I mean, we went out there and won, obviously several years ago, but it's not like we don't know how to win in that building, but go out there and do your job.
Well, and I think, well, personally, I think that with what's going on in the Gulf, and you can talk to this. It's not, I don't think it's necessarily going to affect the game much. I don't think that's the path of it. But heat and humidity are we're no stranger to it, and so I don't think that really is going to play into it. The swamp will be, rocking, I would assume.
Probably.
It's they don't quite have the apathy yet, right? But if Florida loses this game in any manner, way, shape, or form, pretty much, I think Billy Napier can go ahead and start packing up some of his knickknacks.
Yeah, that's exactly what we were saying. Me and a couple guys, we were some of my friends, we were talking about the game a little bit. And yeah, it very much is a must win for Napier if he wants any shot of making it out this season, because this is your first big conference game. It's at home. You have a brand new head coach at a program that a lot of people are expecting to do good things in A&M in the next couple of seasons. So you got to go out there and prove that you know what you're doing. And he has certainly struggled. They looked better last week, but they played the same game we basically played, so.
Right. There's not much you can glean from them last week. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this game goes. Florida needs it. We need it. I think Shireen said, if we lose, it just feels like it's a rebuilding year kind of thing. If they lose, they're probably losing their coach. It'll be interesting to see how Florida rotates their quarterbacks, because Billy Napier came out and made it pretty clear that he's going to play them both. Graham Mertz is dookie. Like it's I hope he plays 95% of the snaps, quite frankly. DJ Lagway's electric, but he's a freshman, you know, so it's, is the game too big? Is it still too fast for him kind of thing? I think where we'll see the true advantage on our end is on the lines. Yes. Florida has just not looked good on the lines. And I think that's where, you know, if we're going to see a steady improvement, which is, you know, think back to the 2012 season, right? And how it started and exactly. kind of had a rough go, but it felt like every game we did get literally better and better and better and better and better. And from Notre Dame to McNeese State, can you say we got better? I don't know. We played McNeese State instead of Notre Dame, right? Okay. But, you know, if we can see the improvement this week and you see it from the lines, I think that's where you start going, okay, maybe a lot of, you know, this is kind of an Elko thing, right? He's building and we're improving week by week. The fact that he came out and said, you know, our run defense looks like crap. After the Notre Dame game, he stood up there and took accountability for it. So I love all those aspects about it. It's just, it's one thing to say it and it's another thing to do it, right?
Correct.
And to go from playing McNeese State to going to the Swamp, you know, and having to do it against what will be considerably better athletes. I think we out-athlete Florida. I do, which, you know, what, 10 years ago, that would have been crazy to say.
Right.
Right. But I think we out-athlete Florida. So I think if we can just go out there and really follow our coaching and do what we're supposed to do. I'm trying not to use the word execute. but I think that that's where, you know, this line is tight. You know, it's at 4.5. I'm kind of shocked by that.
That's fair.
I think if you look like, I think a lot of these lines, especially early in the season, people are just kind of, I understand that lines move because the money comes in so that, you know, Vegas sets it and then they just let it, you know, let the bettors basically run with it. But this line, it seems low, man. Like if I were betting the line, I would absolutely pick the Aggies to cover this. I think we've got enough clicking right now, just enough, not everything, obviously, but I think we have enough clicking combined with the out, you know, the talent on the lines. You know, Florida State's having a hard time with everything. They probably, in fact, didn't somebody like decommit or something? Like Florida State found a way to lose on their bye week. Florida, yeah, we went out and played McNeese State and did what we were supposed to. Florida didn't.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at that game, Florida didn't go out and just dominate them from the first snap. So I think there's something to take from that. And another thing, you know, we talk about is how the locker room is going. And man, they didn't look great. You know, they've stunk it up against Miami. You know, what's the culture like in that locker room? You know, did that win get them right? Or did that win expose enough issues to where it may be even worse? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. How were those film sessions with the coaches? Did they get blasted because they were doing crappy things to get Samford or Samford, right?
Yeah. Samford.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting, you know, but again, the Swamp will be packed. It's early in the season and Florida fans generally come out pretty well. Anyways, they show well. The Swamp is a place wish I'd thought about going to this year.
Florida really didn't start pulling away in that game until the second half. They were only up 14-0 at the half.
Right. So imagine us going to halftime against McNeese State, only up 14-0. Like, how bad would be
pissed.
Yeah, you're talking about servers melting down at Tex-Aggs, like, you know, cats and dogs living together, you know, complete pandemonium.
Mass hysteria.
But we'll get to the picks, but that's kind of how I see the game is I think 4.5 is a low spread. I think the money has moved this around more than common sense. I mean, I could be wrong. Lord knows I'm wrong quite a bit. Hell, I'm only 5-5 in my picks right now. So, but I think that, you know, this is a massive, massive game for both schools. And so from that, I think you'll see, and it's massive for us again, you know, are we building or are we rebuilding? You know, that's kind of what we're looking at on our end. For Florida, it's no secret that Billy Napier's job is on the line this year. And if you drop this one, where do you go from there? Then all of a sudden you look at Florida's schedule and you go, well, who the hell are they going to be?
Tough questions.
So this is huge for both sides. So that'll be huge. Mm-hmm. So I can't wait. I think the game's going to be great. I think it should be a ton of fun, but I think we out talent them enough. You know, we need the receivers to do enough. And we need Connor Wegman's legs. But most importantly, both lines. The offensive line needs to continue to improve and gel. And that defensive line has got, like, they've got to get home a little bit more. Now, they're doing an okay job. Again, you look at the rushing defense, and Elko says it stinks. Give 186 in two games. But that's on like six plays. You know, like, it's like those five or six chunk plays that we've given it up. But those chunk plays are a problem.
They are.
So, and I appreciate that he appreciates that, right? Mm-hmm. And so my thought is, what we really need, because I think the secondary has done a pretty good job of filling on the run game. You know, I think we've got some dudes on the back end. Oddly enough, I think we need a little bit better linebacker play. You know, that's your point of attack on the running game. Yeah. And if they throw Lagway in, and so you have the mobile quarterback, it just makes it all that much more difficult, especially if he's not seeing the defense well. He's going to take off a lot more often. And there's a reason he was rated as high as he is. It's you know, he's not slow. You know, and so, you know, your hope is that, you know, the linebackers have a really good game. But but again, even the running game, it all starts up front, you know, clogging holes and trying to keep contained. So it's, so that's my thoughts on the game.
Yeah. Contain is the name of the game with him.
Mm-hmm. And if it's Graham Mertz, then you got to get home. You got to rattle him a little bit, right? Because he's coming out of concussion protocol.
Yeah.
You know, so just rattle him a little bit and get home. You know, if you get home, and not necessarily that forcing him out of the game for DJ Lagway is a positive. I mean, DJ Lagway could be the next Johnny Manziel. We don't know. But
scary thought.
But Mertz sucks, right? And so, you know, as long as you just don't let anybody blow past you in the secondary and let him just heave something up to where you can't even recover, you know, all you really want to do is make sure you can get home. And so that's why I'm focusing like dead on both lines, our offensive line and our defensive line. And I think we have the dudes to play the overpowering football that we want to see.
Yep. And I tend to agree with you. I like our chances in that game. Yeah, I think it's going to be just all right. I think we'll go out there and do what we got to do, but we'll get into those picks for sure here shortly.
Yeah, we'll get into the picks. We'll do this a little bit later. So, but outside of that, it was a really entertaining, football weekend. Army's 2-0.
And they looked good doing it too.
Yeah, so Army's headed to the college football playoffs, obviously. But it's nice to see Army playing well, and it's weird to see Mikey Stadium. So they've got a renovation going on at Mikey Stadium. And I don't know if you've ever watched a game where they played at West Point, but the press boxes look across the field. And there's one solid concrete stands, and behind it is there's a road, and then it's called Lusk Reservoir, and that's where they have like the 155s that they fire off for touchdowns.
Yeah,
that entire stands has been blown to the ground, been demolished. But in typical government form, it's taking 2 years to rebuild it. So, yeah, I would have loved that, win that contractor job, right?
Had it done yesterday, you know.
Well, this isn't coming out of the Department of Defense fund, so don't worry. This is not on the Army's budget. But, but you know, raising funds for a program like that just takes longer, obviously. Don't get me wrong, West Point has as successful alumni as any university probably in the world. And by successful, I mean rich.
Yeah.
But you're tapping into donors that aren't used to giving, like, massive amounts. You know, it's – you know, it's not necessarily oil money, you know,
right?
But these people are wildly successful in life. It's just getting them to think about giving to that, if that makes sense. So it'll take them a little bit longer, but it's supposed to look gorgeous. But I'm sitting here talking about Army football for 5 minutes. Get me going. I'll talk all day. But we have a forward pass. So I'm telling you, the nation better look out, man.
Oh, yeah. Hey, it's a Army Air Corps is back.
That's right, baby. That's right. So there's a couple of games I want to touch on that we're not going to pick. Yeah. And you talked about what was the first? Oh, the UTSA, right?
So it's Texas State, Arizona State. So Texas in State, San Marcos, Texas State is hosting Arizona State. Granted, Arizona State coming off of a pretty comfortable when all things said, Mississippi State did make a run on them late, but they looked good.
Yeah, now you're like, and again, since we're 2 weeks in, you go, man, does Mississippi State suck or is Arizona State good?
Right, we don't know. But matchup predictors obviously really liking Arizona State in this game, but the Lions sitting at 1.5 currently in that game towards Arizona State, which is wild.
That's bonkers.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is a big game for both schools, but this isn't a must win like kind of our situation is. This is just nuts to me that a school with the name Arizona State could go to the bustling metropolis of San Marcos, Texas, and that be the line.
Yeah.
1.5 points. That is completely insane to me when you think about what Arizona State just did last weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if Mississippi State's good, bad, or otherwise, but it's Mississippi State.
Right.
You know what they have? Better athletes at every single position than Texas State does.
Yeah.
And it's 1.5 points. Did I miss Texas State beating the 85 Bears?
Well, they did finally get their first win against UTSA, and it was a comfortable win. They beat them like 49-10, and then they smoked Lamar in the first game pretty well. I mean, I say smoked. They beat them 34-27.
Played nobody.
Yeah, played anybody.
And by all means, bet responsibly, gamble responsibly. Do not take my advice. But if there was a line ever that I was going to dump like a ton of cash on, it would be 1.5 points for Arizona State.
Bingo.
It's just bonkers to me. I mean, who's Texas State played? Nobody. Is UTSA any good this year? I don't know. They're normally not very good because they normally don't play anybody.
Yeah.
So again, it's an overreaction. The line is an overreaction. The money pouring in. I actually might bet this game now that I'm talking out loud. Yeah. I might bet this game. We're not going to pick it, but 1.5 points. Come on, man. No.
It's going to be interesting to see what the result is next week.
Yeah, watch Texas State will win by 20, and I look like
right. An asshole. Who knows? We'll see.
The other one is Oregon State. So this one's in Corvallis. Oregon is overranked at 9 because Oregon's got some problems. And this one in the Apple Cup, you know, Washington and Washington State, both are being played this weekend. Game day could have been at either one of these because this is an old rivalry with new conferences. And both of these teams that are not the Big Ten were basically left in the dust, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to talk about having talking points for 3 points of being on for 3 hours of being on game day. These were softballs, man. These weren't even softballs. They were sitting on a tee. All you had to do was schedule game day for either one of these and probably watch actual fist fights break out.
Oh, it'd be wild.
Because it's Apple Cup and Civil War. You know, these are old rivalries and the conferences have changed. I mean, they were mature enough to still play. But Oregon State, I think Oregon's overrated. Watch out for Oregon State at home trying to make a statement against their in-state brethren that left them high and dry to go to the Big Ten.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be interesting.
I think this is like 7.5 points, something like that.
16 in favor of Oregon.
Oh, no, so this is a big line. I don't know if Oregon State's any good, but this will be one where 16.5? This is a rivalry game. I don't know, because again, everybody loves the Ducks. I'm not all in on the Ducks yet. I'm not.
And it's at home for Oregon State.
Yeah, it's in Corvallis. That's what I'm saying. Like this, that is going to be one insane ruckus environment, no matter what Oregon State has done so far. Mm-hmm. And so just look to that game. If you're looking at lines, that's one I would look at because you're talking about two touchdowns and a field goal damn near is what they've got to beat them by, right?
Yep.
And so in a rivalry game, that's a massive number. Not to say that rivalry games don't get out of hand from time to time, but I think Oregon is overrated. And I think Oregon State has enough in them to at least keep it close. I'm not sitting here calling Oregon State upset, but I think Oregon could be on the ropes in this game late.
Yeah, I truly don't think that game's going to get out of hand. I really 16 don't.
16.5 is dumb.
No, I completely agree with you on that. I think Oregon State's going to keep that game fairly close. I really do.
16.5 is just a big number to be at home. If it was at Oregon, that'd be one thing. Just because, again, the home field advantage, it really does play so much into rivalry games. It does. Oh, excuse me.
Bless you.
Sorry, I'm allergic to talking about Oregon, which is weird because growing up, I always loved the Ducks. Like, I love their logo. You gotta love the Ducks.
I
But
like their uniforms, like back there in like the 2000s when they had like the diamond pattern, like the metal diamond pattern on the shoulders and
before
all
they
that.
went completely bonkers with
Yeah,
Phil
like,
Knight, yeah.
yeah, they were
They had
having
12
fun
games
with the
and they,
uniforms.
you know, they got 12 games and they have like 14 different uniforms.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, you got the Ducks and the Beavers, right? Playing in the Civil Wars or Civil War, which is really weird because that state didn't exist during the Civil War, but I guess that's what we're going to call it. It could have gone with something else. I don't know what. I got nothing.
Yeah,
Come up with
well.
some, hey, y'all comment some funny names for what the Oregon State rivalry should be. I'll come up with something.
I mean, I love coming up with rivalry games, like names for rivalry games.
Oh, yeah.
Especially, I mean, like as you know, A&M LSU doesn't have one, but I've heard a handful of really good ideas.
Well, what's ours with South Carolina, the Bonham Trophy?
Yeah, it's just the Battle of the Bottom Trophy, basically.
Yeah, so that trophy needs to change, and it needs to be a trophy of John Bonham playing drums. I think that would be way cooler.
Oh,
That's
come on, James Butler Bonham. That's a great Texas hero.
it should just be John Bonham playing the drums.
It should be.
It should be absolutely be that. Yeah, just like a yeah. I think that would be hilarious.
That'd be funny.
But the other one we talked about, game day going to Apple Cup, we're actually going to pick that one. But again, those are two games that, bro, you had two storylines right there, man. You know what? If they were smart, they would have somehow found a way to do a split game day
It'd be interesting.
and just drilled into that narrative.
Yeah.
You know, and so
One
what are
made a
you
lot
going
of
to do?
sense,
What are
but
you, I'm not a program director at ESPN, so what are you going to do?
no, they understand. Well, and it just goes back to the thing with the SEC and just the viewership and people being like, oh, I guess it's just going to be bigger if it's an SEC school. And I'm in my head, I'm like, you know, South Carolina making waves with LSU, not really. I would
Well,
rather see those other stories.
I mean, I guess I can see it. We're going to pick this game too. I guess I can see it because between, you know, Brian Kelly's little temper tantrum, like, just keeps happening. Well, you're the coach, moron. Like, and basically just throwing his player under the bus at the press conference, his quarterback, you know. And then, you know, injuries. LSU is piling up injuries. And South Carolina has looked like not South Carolina. So could this be a game? I guess, I mean, this is an SEC Nation kind of weekend for me, not a game day. This is a terrible location for game day, quite frankly. This game is dumb, but we'll pick it anyways. But all right, so let's get into these picks, right? All right, so the first one we have Arizona at K-State. This is a Thursday night game, I believe.
Fun uniform fact. So Arizona State's breaking out, or excuse me, Arizona, they're breaking out a cat's helmet, like a cat script on their helmet for
Oh, I
that
saw
game.
that. It's awful.
And it's not very good, but Kansas State also has a cat's script they've done on the helmet in the past. And I'm like,
Oh, that'd be fun.
oh, let's just have cats v cats.
Oh, C versus K, right? Oh, no, I guess the Wildcats are C too, huh?
Yeah, they're both C's.
Oh,
No,
weird.
no bear cats with a K like Sam Houston.
That's like Klein High School, baby. So Kansas State, 7-point favorite. And again, these are as of when I pulled these lines. So, you know, this is subject to change if you don't listen to this until Friday. K-State, 7-point favorites at home. This is one of the only ranked matchups of the weekend, isn't it?
Very, very few, and that's like the one decent one.
I think this, I'm trying to think.
I think it is.
This might be the only one. They're playing on a Thursday.
Well, yeah, Boston College of Missouri, but that's
Oh,
24
yeah. Oh, you know what? Before we get into our picks, that's another interesting one because you know what? I think the BC thing is overrated as well. Just like Northern Illinois, I think BC being ranked is maybe a little premature. So
I think
that's a one
Missouri's
that,
gonna do a lot of damage to them.
yeah, that's a one just to keep an eye on the score. I think Missouri's gonna paste them. I
They've
think
looked
Missouri's a good
outstanding.
football team. Yeah, I'm
Yeah,
not
they've
looking
looked.
forward to that week
No.
as of right now.
No, they've looked great.
Yeah, Missouri's look like kind of what we thought would. Eli Drinkwitz has got it going there, man. That's just all there is to it. Which is a little surprising because, I mean, getting it going at Missouri is not the easiest thing since basically ever since they left the Big Eight, minus like a couple of good years, right, in the Big 12. I mean, granted, we don't like beating them, period. So there's that. But yeah, so Arizona K-State. I love the implications of this. I love, we're starting to see conference games. We're starting to see separation in conferences. I've got the Wildcats. I've got K-State. You like that? So I'm going to take Kansas State in this one. I don't know that they would necessarily cover again. I haven't watched a ton of Arizona football, but I like Kansas State to win this one.
Yeah,
So are you taking the Cats or the Cats?
I will tell you this much. Arizona's defense has not impressed me from the numbers I've seen. I mean, they played Northern Arizona. They beat them 22 to 10. FCS school, you beat them 22 to 10. And then the week before
That
that.
would almost be more concerning on the offensive side because you give
Yeah.
up 10. I mean, we gave up 10 to McNeese State, but we also know how that happened.
The defensive issue comes the week before that. They played at air played against New Mexico. Now they put up 61 points, but they also gave up 39 points to New Mexico.
That's a lot of points, and no
That's a
offense,
lot.
New Mexico's not very good.
They're not, and they haven't been for a long time. So,
They're
I mean,
not.
if and I will say Kansas State went on the road to a interesting game, like the game I talked about, the kind of sneaky good one, and it was sneaky good for a while there with Tulane and Kansas State, but Kansas State obviously pulls that game out. Pretty comfortably in the end, and I'm with you. Kansas State.
I can't say. All right.
Kansas State all day.
All right. So college game day, LSU at South Carolina. South Carolina is 6.5 point dogs at home. This one I don't have penciled in yet. This is actually a tough one because, is Brian Kelly going to collapse a little bit? Are these injuries something that are it's going to be really difficult to overcome? Is South Carolina better this year? And that's a big spread. So they're thinking that LSU can still out-talent them. I don't know that they can. South Carolina is a funky place to play. Stadium looks like a dying cockroach, basically. But
They get it rocking though. I mean, like I said, it's
they
they
get it
do.
rocking with Sandstorm. The fans are out of control. People in South Carolina love to tailgate for like I mean, they tailgate like LSU fans.
Yeah,
They do.
and it's another 11 o'clock game.
Is LSU going to be up for it? These are those funky games. Like, remember, we were ranked high, then we went into Mississippi State at 11 o'clock game and got our doors blown off.
I was
90%
there.
of that, yeah, 90, yeah, me too. Yeah, 90% of that was because of the uniforms we wore. But I'm having a hard time on this one. I mean, you got anything for this? And I know it's damn near touchdown dog at home, so that's a big number. I mean, that's a 10 point on a neutral field kind of thing.
Yeah, and even matchup predictors looking at this game, it's literally 51-49 in a slight favor to LSU. Like
Yeah.
we're talking, I mean, damn near, like if we're looking at injuries and outside factors and the 11 o'clock start on the road, there's a lot of things going against LSU in this game, which is exactly why I'm gonna pick them.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. See,
Because
this is
here's
one
the
of
thing,
those.
like there's so many times when I've looked at these little factors and been like, oh, well, if this happens, if this happens, if that happens.
And
I
the
think at the
exact
end of,
opposite happens.
yeah, and like honestly, in my head, I mean, I just look at LSU and I think, yeah, it's a conference game. Yes, you're playing at South Carolina. But fact of the matter is, LSU's LSU. And I do think that they're going to find a way to win that game. I don't know if it's going to be comfortable. I highly doubt it will be. But I'm leaning LSU just because
See, I could see LSU struggling in the first half,
yeah.
plugging holes with injuries, coming off, a tough weekend kind of thing. Well, not tough, but I think that USC loss is lingering. I think it's that kind of loss. I really do. Everything's pointing towards LSU, right? Like you said, there's a reason that this line is where it's at. This is a make a statement in conference game for LSU. I could
Sure.
see where they could struggle and then they pull away in the second half. I don't know what South Carolina's got. I just don't.
No.
But
Sellers, their starting quarterback. I mean, his numbers have been whatever. I mean, he's 20 of 37 on the season. He's got 280 yards, two touchdowns, and a pick.
it's a whole lot of nothing for two
It's a whole
games.
lot of nothing. LSU's got, I mean, he's already put up 610 yards passing. Granted, a lot of that was against, nobody opponent insert
Well,
here.
yeah.
But, he's up to 8 touchdowns on the season with only one interception. So, I mean, offensive production wise, I mean, everything I'm looking at, like I said, I'm leaning LSU. That's just, honestly, it's pretty close to a pick'em for me in my head, but I coin flip, I'm going LSU.
I feel like it's a pick'em kind of game, even though the line is where it's at. And this is where it's hard for me to pull the emotion out because I can't stand LSU.
Same.
but like it's hard for me to pick LSU when everything really kind of tells me that's going to be LSU. But you know what? I'm gonna go different. You know, I think maybe South Carolina is able to put something together at home, a little bit of mojo, like you said. So all those factors that never end up working out, I'm gonna bet
Maybe.
on those factors. So I'm gonna pick on those factors this week. And if LSU goes into Columbia, South Carolina, and manages to drop this game, look out.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah, that's a press conference you're not going to want to miss.
Nope.
All right, so next up, we have the Apple Cup, UW and Wazoo. UW is a 4.5 point favorite. I believe I didn't get this one. Is this one in Washington or Washington State?
It's in Seattle, so it's at Washington.
So it's at Washington. So 4.5 at home. Again, this comes close to a pick 'em, right?
Right.
You know, we've got one of these long time standing rivalries, the Apple Cup. You got Washington State, who has been wronged, right? You know, they've been wronged by their in-state brethren, and they're pissed. You know, and they didn't have to wait to play them again. It's you get them the next year, and you get a chance to make a statement with this game. Now, I would love for this game to be, you know, at Washington State. I really would. That's, you know, obviously just kind of how it fell. UW, slight favorites at home. I think this could be one of the more entertaining games to watch. You know, you're because the Oregon State one would be entertaining if the line looked anywhere closer, right? You know, but this is a tight line, 4.5 at home. You know, you take those three, so you're a 1.5 point favorite neutral. So this, what they think this is evenly matched, or at least the bettors have got there. I don't know where the line opened, but I would doubt that it opened really big either way. And so my thought is this is a really, really entertaining game. But because Washington is at home, I'm going to go ahead and take UW to win the game.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. The only thing that kind of creeps into my head about this matchup is what happened last week. So I was looking at Washington's numbers. You know, you win your first two games, you play Weber State and Eastern Michigan, a couple of gimme games, and you treat them like gimme games. You win 35-3, you win 30-9. You know, comfortable. Washington State on the other side of that coin, yeah, they get a gimme game early. You play Portland State, take advantage of that win. You give up some points
That
in that
sounds like a
game, but you,
baseball bracket.
yeah.
Washington State and Portland State.
It's like you win that game, but then you turn around and you had a home game against Texas Tech, who granted looked like poop against Abilene Christian the previous week, and then proceeded to look like it again against Washington State. They ended up winning 37-16. It wasn't close.
It's still in theory a step up in talent though from Portland State,
It
right?
is.
So
And
I
you beat
mean,
them pretty
it better
comfortably.
be, or there's going to be some really unhappy Tech fans this year.
Yeah, tech
Yeah,
is not
so
it.
again, that's why I think this could be. I mean, this again, this is another one of those coin flips. I would love for Wazoo to win straight up. I would love for them to beat UW. I really would. My brain's telling me though that it's at Washington, so I think the Huskies end up winning. But again, this is a coin flip for
Yeah,
me.
go ahead and put me down for Washington as well.
All
For
right, so we
sure.
both got UW. The next one is Indiana at UCLA. UCLA is a 3-point dog at home. My guess would be the last time Indiana traveled to UCLA to play football, they maybe didn't even have face masks.
Might have been.
But you know, this is now a Big Ten matchup, right? When's kickoff? I didn't see the kickoff time. Do you have it?
Yeah, give me 1 second. I had it pulled
All
up
right.
here. I've been
Well, I'll go through this
scrolling
a little
around.
bit. So, you know, original Big Ten kind of member going out to the new Big Ten, former Pac-12. UCLA has been a struggling program pretty much ever since they pissed us off.
So
It's it's
6:30 p.m.
all right. So, Indiana fans, you get your first dose of late night football, man. Yeah, because you're going to be watching from home, hanging out. You're a Hoosier, right? Got your jersey on, trying not to fall asleep because the game's not going to kick until 8:30. You're going to be done around midnight. So, welcome to the club and your new geographical footprint of your conference. So I hope you enjoy that. UCLA, again, though, it's a struggling program. They haven't been able to put anything together in the last few years. It just feels like there is such a chasm between USC and UCLA. And I understand that USC hasn't, you know, been world beaters or won any national championships, but it just feels like there's been a divide there. And it kind of feels like it's an all-time divide, right? If we're playing football, it's USC. If we're playing basketball, I get it, UCLA, right? But in football, it just feels like USC has always been able to really create a lot of separation between them and UCLA. And so to me, I've got Indiana going out there and winning. UCLA is again not used to the kind of football that Indiana plays. They're USC and UCLA are not used to this Big Ten style of football, which is, by the way, the least exciting football of any of the power conferences.
Sure.
If you're a 3 yards in a cloud of dust guy, that's great. But for an entire season, I can't take that. Maybe this is coming from a guy who watches a triple option Army football team, but that's
different.
Okay. That's their only hope of actually winning any games because they don't have the athletes. But the Big Ten willingly just lines up and runs in between the tackles. And so I like Indiana going out there. I think they can go out there and just kind of run on UCLA because, again, Pac-12 defenses, we know, aren't developed to be big, chunky run stoppers, right? So it's a little bit, higher flying offenses that they're going against. UCLA, I don't think they've built the roster to have to really withstand what could be just a run show for Indiana. And then again, once you pull them in, like you say, your offense sets up your offense, pull them in, run, 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 dump one over the top. Because Indiana does have they do have some athletes. This is not, again, this is not like the Indiana that played UCLA in 1943. So I like Indiana to go on the road. I like them to beat UCLA.
Yeah, and I tend to agree. And I think one of the big factors working in Indiana's favor is they've already played two games. UCLA's only played one. And their one game was against Hawaii on the road, but that's travel. But you only win like 16 to 13 in that game. And Indiana has looked like a well-oiled machine to start the season. Granted, once again, played a couple of nothing teams. So
But
you're
they've
going
played
into
one
this.
more, so they've had one more game worth of reps as well, though.
Exactly. And
Correctly.
that's the other thing that has me leaning Indiana.
Well,
I was
Oh, go ahead.
now I was just gonna say I think that style of play is just gonna be something tough for UCLA to adjust to, especially after your only measuring stick was last week at Hawaii. And that was getting out by the skin of your teeth. So I like Indiana in this game as well.
Yeah, and I think what, and just a little sidebar, I think what we'll see out of the Pac-12 teams that join the Big Ten. There will be a learning curve with their defenses. I don't think the offense is a problem. I think the Pac-12 high-flying offenses are going to give Big Ten defenses some fits as long as these Pac-12 teams can. And again, you're no offense to the Pac-12, but we've all known it's been the weakest for the longest, right? And so, now you're going into you're not going to go play a lot of 55 to 42 games in the Big Ten, right? And so the biggest thing you've got to address is your lines, both sides, right? You've got to have some run stoppers. You got to have just some big old boys, weighing 350 in the middle. And you've got to have offensive linemen that, while talented, you need to be recruiting the kind of offensive linemen that you see in the SEC. They're big, but they're agile. They end up in the NFL. These are the offensive linemen that you want to see. And not to say that they haven't put in their share of linemen, in the NFL, but I think you'll see them. The teams that can build their lines the fastest will be the ones to morph the fastest because they've got all the speed on the back end and they've got the speed at the wide receivers. That's the offenses that they're in the defenses that they were building to begin with. So now it's you've got to get a little more bulk up front on both sides of the ball. And those are the Pac-12 teams I think you'll see have success in the Big Ten. Just whoever can do it the fastest. Oregon is probably your one outlier because Oregon really doesn't care and they don't react. They'll just play however they want to play because Oregon is built to score 70 points, and that's just what they try to do at Oregon. And so you can overcome the other team. If you want to run the ball down our throats, that's fine because you're running clock. It's going to take you a while to do it, and we can dink and dunk and be done with it. And so Oregon might be the one outlier that they're able to compete no matter what they do on the lines because they've recruited well enough anyways. They've got Nike, and now in the world of NIL and Nike, that's you would think Oregon would be a shoo-in to win the national championship literally every year.
You'd think.
But not everybody wants to go live in Oregon, like in Eugene.
No.
And then we get to our final game, our game. So
Yes.
Ags going to the swamp, 2:30 kick. We are 4.5 point favorites. I kind of outlined everything I thought when it comes to talent and just how this stacks up and the importance of the game for both teams. Now, I will say I am still in a totally wait and see mood, right? I think again, the only thing we really could have gleaned much of from McNeese State would have been bad stuff, right? So I was happy with what I saw, but what I saw that made me happy is what I expected to happen against McNeese State, right? So I need to see progression game to game to game to game to game, right? So week three, you want to see some more improvement. You want to see the line play better. I've got the Aggies winning this. I've got the Aggies winning this comfortably. I think we out-talent them. I think if we can see improvement again from week two to week three, combined with the out-talent, as long as Connor, doesn't get happy feet, I like the Aggs to win, and if I were betting, I'd like the Aggs to cover.
Yeah, I'm also going to pick the Aggs to win, of course. At this point, I legitimately think that this is a matchup that we should, on paper, win and win without too many issues.
This is a good matchup for us. I don't think this is a very good matchup for Florida. And then combine that with the fact that they're when you have two quarterbacks, you have none, right? That's the old saying. So unless Napier figures something out or Lagway is just the dude, which we don't know if he is or not. I like the Aggs. I don't think the Aggs are going to run away by like 14 or 17 points, but I don't think I think they'll cover,
All right.
with a 4.5 point line. So.
So I was double checking that. No questions, and that's all great and good. One thing I did want to comment on, one other game that I'm just watching for the Schadenfreude because there's a potential here. Colorado travels to Colorado State. Colorado
Oh, you know
State.
what? I did want to bring that one up. So the line is like seven and a
Yeah.
half.
Seven in favor of Colorado on the road.
I'm like a degenerate. I know these lines. I'm not like a degenerate. I am. That's fine. For Jackass of the Week, I nominate Deion Sanders, by the way. Although Shadur will get honorable mention for his shenanigans at the press conference, which was just absolutely disgusting and pitiful. But what I will say is, telling the Colorado band to pause and give time when his son scores, make sure that the PA system plays a snippet of his son's rap song before. And now Colorado's still going to play their fight song after they score, but his son has to get a little snippet of his rap song in first. Colorado cannot go away fast enough. Deion Sanders cannot go away fast enough. And I picked Nebraska to win last week, and I picked some they're more or less not over unders on this kind of pick 'em thing. And I was in full blown Colorado hater mode last week. So I picked everybody on the under or the less, more or less kind of thing. And you know what? And I picked Nebraska to win, and I was right, and I was thrilled. And to see the wheels potentially completely fall off 3 weeks in, because think about this. Travis Hunter is first round material.
He's so good.
He's such a freak. Lose to Colorado State and see if he doesn't pack it up for the year.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm not even gonna lie to you, because I mean, you're looking at a matchup last year, which was in Boulder, a highly touted matchup, and it went to double overtime with a not good Colorado State team. And now you have to go to Fort Collins, and you know they're chomping at the bit.
Well, for all my Rams fans that might be listening to this, so all zero of you, I don't think you have to ever say not good in front of Colorado State because they pretty much just suck. Like as a program, they're basically as mediocre as it comes, right? But man, you want to talk about one game where I'll put on green and gold and dance on my roof, man. Let's go.
I'm with you. I think Colorado State very well could sneak. I think they might do it. And
Well, and that's a hated in-state rivalry too, man.
it
It's
is.
another one of those. So that's one thing I will say about all the shuffling and everything with the conferences. We're getting some rivalry games early in the year. So that's, if there's a positive for all this, mix up, we got Civil War, we got Apple Cup, we got whatever they call this, the Battle of the Square State. I've probably said this before. When you were growing up in elementary school and you had to do a project on the states, everybody wanted Colorado because all you had to do was buy the construction board. You didn't have to cut it into the shape of the state. You just bought it and you're like, check it out, Colorado.
Oh yeah. And then they call it the Rocky Mountain Showdown. There you
Rocky Mountain Oyster Showdown.
go. It's funny.
Boom, it's. That'll be another fun one because that's one of those where Colorado State wins. It's the aftermath you care about. It's not necessarily that they won. It's, dude, the press conferences and whether or not Travis Hunter just sticks both middle fingers in the air and be like,
I'm done.
dog, I got NFL prep to do. I'm done going to class. I'm done with this.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
That'll
could
be
it happen this
interesting.
early? I don't know. Is Travis Hunter more like Shedeur Sanders and how his attitude is? What we saw on full display in that press conference, or is he a little bit more level-headed?
We'll see.
I don't know, but we're gonna find out.
We will
We're gonna
find
find out
out.
if Colorado State wins. So,
Yep, we definitely will.
before we go, you have a reveal of a purchase, correct?
I have a few things I want to chat about. Number one, me and my friend Ashley, she came into town, and we one of the things that she's really big on is vinyls, and we picked up a
My friend
handful of,
Ashley and I.
Ashley and I, we went and shopped over at Curious Collections, and I found an old classic, one of my personal favorites. We got Ray Price.
Oh, my.
For the Good Times.
Very nice.
And it sounds glorious.
It sounds exactly how Ray Price is supposed to sound.
Oh, it was so good. And I've always been a big fan of his music. And I mean, just such a great influence for country music as a whole. And that was a really cool find for me.
Nice.
But as a separate find, I have to reach up and snag this one. But Ashley went to a vinyl shop over in Austin. And this one is special for me and Carson and the rest of the boys. So she found No Kind of Dancer.
Oh.
And you have to understand, this is one of the most rare vinyls you can get a hold of these days. Because Robert Earl King didn't make a ton of them. And this is an original pressing signed 1985. But the cool thing, the super cool thing about this record, is we just did our live record there at Cat Spring Hall. This picture is taken on the inside of Cat Spring Hall. The band is up on the stage where we played. And on the back, there's an illustration of Cat Spring Hall. Right there at the top. It's one of those super cool finds. It's a clean record. It sounded great when I tested it out earlier. It's got just enough of the grain to give it a little flavor. It sounds wonderful. And that's Carson's gift that we are getting to him this weekend. So that's an exciting deal. And we're really, really happy that we got a hold of this.
Nice.
As far as other things, I did want to make a couple of quick little shout outs to a couple of people that we've lost now. Number one, this is the 1 year anniversary of when we lost Charlie Robeson, who is one of my all time favorite songwriters in Texas. Frankly, the scene would not look like it does without Charlie.
I'm right there with you on Charlie.
Yeah. You know, and one of my all time favorite songwriters, Loving County is probably one of my favorite songs ever written.
Indianola.
Yeah, and he's got so many great songs if you go down his list. And, I mean, happy, sad, fun stories.
Goofy, the dude, a little bit of everything.
He was a poet. And
best,
it was
best storyteller out there.
Yeah, unbelievable. Phenomenal storyteller. So sad that we lost him. And then one other big one, more on the media front, we lost James Earl Jones.
Yeah, that was awful. I mean, 93 years old, man. He lived a life.
And frankly, one of the most iconic voices I know for my childhood and a lot of other people's childhoods too.
One of the most iconic voices, period. So, unbelievable. And to stay on kind of a sad note to an extent, tomorrow's 9/11. So, just kind of, it's one of those things where, we have to continue to remember, right? And we have to continue to tell these stories. So the memories don't fade and the severity of the event doesn't fade. And that's one of those where, if you were old enough, you'll never forget where you were.
Yep.
Right. When it happened. And so
fourth grade classroom.
Yeah. I was in Conmee Hall on Fort Myer getting ready to go back to Fort McNair after having pulled an all nighter. And so, so it's just, think of that, think about that, it's okay to think about it, remember it. Yeah. It's okay too. But, that set off a crazy chain of events kind of in my life because I was, already in the Army and I was in D.C. So, so just kind of, remember those, remember that date and remember the, not only, who we lost that day, but then, what that basically led to and the sacrifices, that over decades, have occurred, really due to that one huge event. So,
correct.
But outside of that, I don't want to, end on a kind of.
No. How's the rest of your week looking?
Yeah, no, good. Just working, man. I actually picked up a couple of listings. We had some restructuring on our team. And so if anybody out there knows any developers, I've got a 25-acre plot down at South College Station, like right across the bypass from, it's not the bypass down there, it's Highway 6, right across Highway 6 from Southern Point, down by the racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, just plug it along for me. It's like I think I said it last week. Yeah, we had Summit, so it kind of kicked me in the butt. So I've got a lot of fun stuff coming up. We're working on some content as a team with our listings, and they threw out like 9 ideas for videos, and 8 of them I looked at and said, "You'll never get me to do that," right? Because that's kind of who I am. Like, I'm not that. I'm not going to dance through a house, right? It's not happening.
You don't have to. I wouldn't. But
so one fun thing to be on the lookout though is we're going to do some cooking videos in other people's kitchens. Ooh. to highlight their like kick-ass kitchens, right? It's a beautiful kitchen, and so we're going to try and highlight the kitchens while I cook. So maybe that turns into my shtick. But the first couple that come out, so make sure you're following me on social. And if you want to follow Bach Realty Group, BRG, on social. And I'm going to do these first couple of ones because it's in football season. I'm going to do like finger foods and appetizer fun stuff that doesn't take very long. You know, these aren't going to be like, and 3 hours later, pull it out of the oven. So do, not to mention, because the people that live in these listings don't want me in their house probably for 3 hours, because they're not my personal listings. But yeah, so be on the lookout for some fun content doing that. You know, I love to cook, so you should have some fun recipes for some finger food and some fun stuff, some easy stuff too. Like I'm gonna do, I do these sliced tomatoes with mozzarella and parmesan and olives. It's in olive oil and basil, and you know, they're super easy. And I'm gonna do some no-bake cookies on one, and
There you
so
go.
just like easy stuff, fun stuff, but you know, really tasty stuff. So, and everybody on here, if you don't know at this point, then you're probably new, because I mean, I love to cook. It's like
Yes,
literally
he
what I
does.
want. It's my love language, man. So, which oddly enough, I'm not doing tonight because I've racked up so much cooking that we got to eat some leftovers tonight. But
Hey, good
I have
problem to
stuff. I have stuff marinating and sitting for the rest of the week. Like I'm gonna have some fun.
That'll be fun. So we have a couple of shows up in the Dallas area. Bless you. We do have a couple of shows in the Dallas area. We're playing in Plano up at Love and War, which is a great restaurant venue up there. Always had a great crowd out there. Looking forward to, if you're in the area, would love for y'all to come out on a Friday night. Should be a lot of fun up there in Plano. And then Saturday during the day, we have a like a 30-minute set, super short set, playing at Glen Heights. They're doing their 55th anniversary party, and it's like us and then like a jazz group and an R&B group and a
Little bit of
rapper.
everything.
Yeah, it's like
That'll be a fun.
we're the only band outside of the headliner, which is like this big ska band. Like they got horns, like 10-piece, all that crazy stuff. We're the only other band with full production, coming in with ears and everything else. So we're like, two of these bands are going to have a sound check.
That'll be a fun show.
Yeah, it'll be fine. I'm looking forward to it.
That sounds like my Spotify.
Yeah,
Like
it should be a lot of
just
fun.
absolutely no rhyme or reason, because I love, you know, so many genres.
Right.
I will say, I'm going to tease something right quick before I
Okay.
forget it. I do have a pretty big announcement coming up, but I'm still getting some things finalized and some ducks in a row about some things with business. So depending on where you live and where you listen to this, it may actually affect you. Sorry.
And I have one more positive. I get to go watch Creed and Three Doors Down tomorrow in
Oh,
Dallas.
another fun
I'm
show.
pumped.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun show.
Got to watch Three Doors Down last year. It was a blast. They were so good. But yeah, Creed, that's a show I've been wanting to see for 15 years of my life, and I am so ready for it.
Completely random. I was on my way back from spring today, and you know they have 95.7 The Spot down there, which basically is it's like literally tapped into my Spotify is what it feels like. And I hadn't heard him forever, and it not a classic by any means, but remember the band Cake? Yeah, She's Going the Distance.
She's
So
going for
Count John.
speed.
She's All Alone. But I cannot tell you the last time I bought that CD when it came out, but I cannot tell you the last time I've heard that song. I'm talking like probably like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, right?
Yeah.
And it comes on, and I giggle to myself, and then I start singing it, and I realize that I have not forgotten a single lyric.
Hey, you
It's
just
completely bonkers.
you unlock something from your past in your head.
Seriously, yeah, it's felt like somebody went way in the back of my brain and opened up a file cabinet, and they're like, "Nah, dog, here's the lyrics." So
That's awesome.
I still got it,
You
but
still got it. Well, be sure to follow us on our social media. Everything's down below on YouTube. If you're on there, we are on Instagram. We are on Twitter. We're looking forward
X.
to rock and rolling. Yeah, X. Call it
X.
X. And as we rock and roll, if you guys have any other questions for us going into next week, if you have any other topics you want to fire in, feel free to comment. We love that.
And
It
we
gives
got to
us
wrap
more to
up
talk
because
about.
I, yeah, we got to wrap up because I plan on making a drinking game out of the presidential debate tonight. So,
Yeah, it's about to be really interesting. Like, once again, we don't get into politics on this podcast, so we're about to go enjoy it.
no, I'm just gonna enjoy it. Like it's just like there's a train wreck coming tonight, man.
That's
One
about
way or the
all
other.
we know for sure.
Can't wait to watch it.
All right. I am Rob White. This is Roy May. Thank you for listening to the Red Ass Co podcast, and beat the hell out of Florida.
Absolutely dig it.
Yeah.